thousands of pilgrims from all throughout Ireland climbed to the summit of Craupatrick this weekend as part of the country's annual Reek Sunday pilgrimage, a tradition that has been carried out uninterrupted for more than 1,500 years. As many as 20,000 people climbed Ireland's holy mountain in a pilgrimage led by Archbishop Michael Neary of the Archdiocese of Tuam. Archbishop Neary spoke with Vatican Radio's Anne Schneimel about the history and significance of this pilgrimage.
In ancient pagan Ireland, the people gathered to pray for a good harvest so that they would be able to enjoy the fruits of the earth. And at this time of year, the last weekend of July and early August, there was a festival, a pagan festival called Lunasa. And I suppose in many ways it was a form of worship of a pagan god, maybe the sun god, and the god Lu, who gave fertility to the earth. When St. Patrick came to Ireland in 432, he found that there were many of those pagan pilgrimages in operation, and he decided that this provided him with an opportunity to introduce the message of Jesus Christ. And the Celtic cross, the famous Celtic cross, which is said to have originated from Patrick acknowledging that the pagan Irish adored the sun god. Patrick held up a crucifix against the background of the sun and said, "This is the real sun god. This is the Son of God whom we worship." And this pilgrimage to Craupatrick, it's a mountain about 2,510 feet high. It's on the western shores of Ireland, as you look out towards the Atlantic Ocean. It is a very special place. It's a place of great beauty. And the shape of the mountain, the conical shape, lends itself to pilgrimage and to prayer. It's also a very penitential exercise, because it demands a certain amount of stamina, and yet it's a pilgrimage where you get a great cross-section of Irish society. Those who climb would include the carefreeness of youth, people who are coping with the difficulties of age. You have the hesitant, the adventurous, the athletic, and you have then the persevering and the thoughtful. You have the person who strikes out, the loner, strikes out on his or her own. And then you have others with the group, and you see couples climbing. So it is a great insight into the Irish psyche. You have the emphasis on penance, but you also have that emphasis on penance combined with a certain sense of joy and freedom. And of course, then on fine days, when the sun is shining, the sheer beauty of the surrounding area, the hills and the mountains and the sea, one is reminded of the psalmist, the psalm with which we begin morning prayer, which emphasizes the Creator God. You know, the heights of the mountains are His. To Him belongs the sea, for He made it, and the dry land shaped by His hands. So it is an opportunity to also walk in the footsteps of our ancestors. We are undertaking not just a spiritual pilgrimage, but also a cultural and historical journey down through the ages with those who have gone before us and have helped to make us what we are today. And when we walk with respect and humility on the footprints of the past, we are enabled then to travel more wisely on the pathways of the future.
What can Catholics in Ireland today receive from this pilgrimage by participating in it? Obviously, it's a tradition that's been carried on throughout the centuries. What are some of the spiritual needs of Catholics in Ireland today that can be satisfied perhaps by doing this pilgrimage?
Well, in the culture in which we live today, there is a great emphasis on individualism, with the result that sometimes the weak and the wounded can be overlooked. And I think going on a pilgrimage, we are conscious of traveling with others. When we go on a holiday, we pick those with whom we wish to holiday. We make choices. But going on a pilgrimage, we do not make that kind of choice. We go on pilgrimage with whoever happens to be on the pilgrimage. There's interaction. People who might be finding it difficult in the climb would be encouraged with a word of support from others. And we pause, take time to reflect. And sometimes that pause is determined by maybe shortness of breath or whatever, or the need for a rest. But in all of that, I believe that we are becoming more conscious of our limitations, of our surroundings, of the ecology, and the fact that we are living on God's earth and need to respect the gift that is the earth and ensure that it's treated in such a way that it can benefit all people and not just the greedy and those who are out to exploit it. Today there is a great need for a sense of God, a sense of the other person. And in the aftermath of the 50th International Eucharistic Congress in our country, the theme of that Congress was communion with Christ and with one another. And in the past, there was a great sense of neighbourliness in Irish society. In some ways, I think that maybe that may be at risk today. And if that sense of neighbourliness is lost, then I think that the sense of the transcendent could very easily become lost. So that I consider the pilgrimage to Kirkpatrick as an opportunity to get us looking in two directions. Well, looking towards the Lord and our dependence on God and the need for penance in our relationship with the Lord, for penance and prayer, and then the need to look towards each other and recognize both the strengths and the limitations of others, and in doing so recognizing our own need for support and also the way in which we can provide encouragement and support and hope and meaning for others.
Now, is there anything else, before we wrap up, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners about this pilgrimage?
On the summit, there will be Mass celebrated from about 7:30 in the morning until 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. And there is also provision for the sacrament of penance on the mountain during those times. Mass will be celebrated every half hour, and the first Mass is at 7:30. The last Mass will be at 2 o'clock, and there will be an opportunity then for people to have their own private devotions. Groups like to come together and pray for those who have asked to be remembered in prayer, praying for our emigrants who have left our shores and are working in foreign lands, praying for immigrants who have come to our country in search of employment, praying for the sick, for vocations to priesthood and to religious life, and praying for families, because today is a difficult time for family life. There are so many agents and so many difficulties working against family life, including economic ones.